And the Ramah says, the matba shal chalav, shenosu b'kira tachas k'dira shal basar, hazeya ola v'nivla b'kedera v'osar tof. Right? Anyone see the red? All right. Meat will be green. I hope we won't get sick.
Here's the Machbas Shokhalov. Here is the Kederas. Fasar. And what happens? Says the Shulchan Aruch that this becomes Asur because of the Zeah.
Interestingly, what does the Shulchan Aruch not say? He doesn't say the Machbas becomes Asur, interestingly enough. Now, I guess it all depends how much you want to be Dayak in the Shulchan Aruch. But Pashut Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch is that the Shulchan Aruch knew how to say that the Machbas and the Kedera become Asur if he wanted to. But he doesn't. He just says, Hazeya Ola v'nivla b'kedera v'osarta. He doesn't say anything about asering the machbas. So you can always say, oh, he meant it, he just didn't say it. But Pashup shot in the Shulchan Aruch is that it does not asher the machbas. It does not asher the machbas. It only goes up and asers it and is mavliya in, but it doesn't take the taste out of the kedera and bring it back into the machbas. That's the pshuto shel mikra of the Shulchan Aruch. And I will bring a few rayas for that. So here we have two shitas, right? Here's the big question. The big question is, can hazeya maflit min hakedera v'chozeres v'oseres es hamachbas? So one shita is pashtos of the Shulchan Aruch is no, right? It's a one way yeser. He could have said it two way yeser if he meant. And the rush, it's not just Shulchan Aruch, the rush, right? That's the pasha pshat. And the Rama also doesn't argue mastama. He also admit. Look at the Rama's expansion. He says, this is if there is milk in the machbas. Okay, that's pretty pasha. I mean, you're not going to have zeya from an empty machbas. Then he says, you need, if you want to not the tafshel has to be 60 times the chalav in the machbas. Okay, why doesn't he talk about whether the chalav in the machbas has to be 60 times the tafshel in the kedera, anything? Right, so, let me just rewrite this. The Rama, I don't just mean because the Rama is silent. The Rama starts making cheshbonos. Well, if this is 60 times the chalav in the machbas, the shishim, it'll be okay. Right, because it's clearly given here, it's on the bottom. Pasha, the Rus Machaber Rama, is no. There's no problem there. It only goes one way. It doesn't take the taste out and come back. Right? This is the famous sheet of Rav Schechter. As Rav Schechter says, if I cook milk and meat, or kosher and treif for that matter, in the same oven, says Rav Schechter, when I cook meat in the oven, the steam goes up and makes the oven roof like shit. When I put milk in the oven, the steam goes up and makes the oven roof milk. Now it's treif. So the oven roof is treif, shkayach. But the steam never, and now if I would stick an H tanur and bake it on the oven roof or the oven walls, I'd be in trouble. But obviously I never do that, right? The steam is going to make the oven walls and roof treif. But that treif, the steam is not going to make that treif come out of the oven walls and roof and go back into my food. The steam only goes out. It doesn't bring the tam back in. That's pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch. And that's where Rav Schechter says, you can use the same oven for meat and for milk, and for that matter for kosher and for treif, etc. Because in a chalav, the oven will become treif. But that doesn't bother anyone, because the steam won't get the treif out of the oven and bring it back into my food. That's the basic shita. Now, I want to bring a few rayas for this. What rayas do I want to bring for this? Number one, I'm not going to bring all the rayas now because I'm going to do it in two steps. There's a whole sugya. There's a whole sugya and a whole... What? Does the oven have to cool down in between? Alts the reyach not staying in the oven. So pashtus, you have to at least, like, the reyach escape from the oven, because there is a severe reyach. Okay, so let me just point that out. There's a whole gemara of reyach, right, of roasting kosher and treif in the oven at the same time. Tzolin, basar shtuta, and basar nevela, basar shtuta, dagim basar, basar in pas, etc. And there's a whole, two whole simanim about this in the Shulchan Aruch. One is Sadi Zayin, about meat and milk in the oven at the same time. One is Simon Kof Ches, which is much greater length, about kosher and treif in the oven at the same time. But if you look, for example, at Simon, it's very, it's very short, but the last sif in Echuz Basar B'Cholov says, Pasha Far Matzli, V'Dogim Shalom B'Tanar Echum Abasar, Achum Achum B'Cholov. Okay. Here he doesn't give us too many details. What does he say? If you cook bread with meat or you cook fish with meat, then they become fleishik. Okay, he doesn't tell us l'chachilu b'diavad. You really need simen kof ches. What is the Shulchan Aruch saying simen kof ches? You can just let me read it to you, and it's a mafurish gemara. Ein tzolim basar kshirim basar nevelo shel behema tameya betaner echad. You can't roast kosher and treif meat together in the same oven. Even if they're not touching. This is a big machlokas. Recha milsa between Rav and Levi, and maybe between Abai and Rav, as we'll see. There is a machlokas Recha milsa and Rav and Levi. It's this one. There's another machlokas Recha milsa and Abai and Rav. What the relation between those is for another seven, for seven kof ches. But we paskin lechachila Recha milsa, but b'dievet mutter. So what do we paskin? If you roast kosher and treif in the oven at the same time, lechatchila it's usher because the smell of one goes into the other. But b'dieved, smell doesn't really count because smell is not mamish. And therefore it's okay. Okay. And then he says if it's a very big oven, then it's even mutter lechatchila. Now the Rama says it could be if it's a small oven, maybe it's usher lechatchila. But there's a whole simon about roasting kosher and treif in the same oven at the same time. And no one ever bothered to say, and there's a whole seminar Shulchan Aruch, the sugim war, no one ever bothered to say, oh, hold on a second, there's a problem because of the zeya in the oven. Why wasn't anyone worried about the zeya in the oven? Why isn't anyone worried about the zeya? Why didn't anyone say, and it's pashut, you can cook them in the same oven at different times, so it's only the same time. Basically, it seems pashut, of course you can cook different things in the oven at different times. Even at the same time, b'dieved, it's really fine. They never said that it's a problem because of Zeya. There are sugyas upon sugyas of ovens, and they never said the word Zeya when it came to ovens. Or what? Here we said a machba, something. No one ever said Zeya is a problem in ovens. And they have plenty of opportunities because they talk about it all over Shas and all over Shulchan Aruch. Now, to mention, like, no one ever mentioned a milchah covenant and a fleishah covenant. So, for all of Jewish history, I don't mean Jewish history like historians do archaeological digs. I have no idea what they find in the archaeological digs. I mean Jewish history. The halachic history, from the Gemara, through the Rishonim, through the Achronim, no one ever said you need separate ovens for meat and milk. No one ever said onions are a problem of Zeya. And there is a sugya of ovens, of the sugya of Recha, but no one ever said onions are a problem of ovens are a problem of Zeya. Why did no one ever say ovens are a problem of Zeya? Okay, according to this approach, it makes sense. Ovens are not a problem of Zeya at all, except in a weird, stupid case where you put milk underneath meat at the same time and the steam goes up, which is a very rare occurrence that no one would do. But in a Stam case, there's no problem. And that's why in all of Jewish history, we never found you need a separate oven for meat and for milk.
Pardon, sorry, what was the weird case again?
What?
What's the weird case again?
This case, where you put a pot of milk right underneath the pot of meat. Okay.
Why would it go back down in that case?
It wouldn't. But at least with Asa at the top.
Oh,
so
okay,
you have to
I'm
know
sorry.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this is one possibility. I bring a raya. What's the raya? The raya, one raya is there is no mention of Zeya in the sugyos of ovens. Right, there are sugyos about ovens, and no one ever mentions Zeya. Why did no one mention Zeya? Maybe because of this, because Zeya only goes if something's right on top of something, which it usually wouldn't be, which is a very rare occurrence. Okay. The Bach also points this out. The other raya is...
In what context
do we have? The Shutbach quote in Rikvi Eger about this Rama, who argues on this. Okay, that we put on the board yesterday.
He says,
look, in the ovens, there's really no problem with Zeya.
Because you can cook one after the other open.
No. He says, what he says is, he thinks it doesn't even answer the top one in an oven, because there's plenty of space. But as a chumrah, he'll be molded that it does. He doesn't have a hobby in discussing whether it answers the bottom. Now, the other raya is this. Remember, we could have brought a better, remember I said the Rush wanted to prove that the Zeya is significant, the steam is significant. So he finds a mission machshirin. Why did the Rush find a mission machshirin, the steam is significant? Why couldn't he find a much better raya that the steam is significant? How do we know that steam is significant from Siman Tzadi Beis? Cover the pot. Near Vakiso, when you cover the pot, it's mevalvel everything. When you cover the pot, it's like it's full of rotev. We saw that in the end of Siman Sif Zion also. When you cover the pot, the steam connects everything. Why didn't the Rush just say, of course the steam is a problem? Because we know from a covered pot that the steam makes all the taste of everything go into everything else. Why do you have to go to Machshirim when he could have just said from a covered pot, which everyone knew that halakha, meaning he discusses in the Rush plenty. So, it's a good mystery. I always wondered about that, and I think I have an answer. Everyone admits that the steam in a pot makes the taste of everything combined. And it even brings the taste from the... Can we prove it even brings the taste out of the pot cover? No, it's possible in the Shulchan Aruch, but Pashtus, if it says it even goes up to the treif piece and brings the taste of the treif piece and brings it down and mixes it and dilutes it in the rest of the Kedera, it sounds like that the steam in a pot, the steam inside a pot is very effective at mixing the tam. So why didn't he prove from the steam inside a pot? Remember, the case. You have the piece outside the rotev, the drop of milk falls on it, it becomes treif. When you then cover the pot, that treif taste goes into the rest of the pot, the Kedera. That shows that steam carries the taste from one place to another. So, why didn't he bring a raya from that? So I think the answer is pashut. Everyone agrees. Let's see what everyone agrees. L'kulei alma, hevel hakedera, meaning a covered pot, hevel hakedera mevalbel the hevel of the kedera is molech es hatam becholak dera. Everyone agrees the hevel of the kedera inside a covered pot, that steam mixes together all the tastes. That everyone agrees. Less van the public. Everyone knows that. Why did the Rush not bring a raya from that? So I want to say kacha. I want to say that, and this is not, this is where Rav Schechter says. Rav Schechter says that the Rush, lo hevi raya mi kedera mechusa. Why didn't the Rush bring a raya from a kedera mechusa? In my humble opinion, and Rav Schechter's less humble, I'm sure humble for him, not humble for me, opinion. Why? Because, very pashut, everyone knows there's a difference between steam in the pot and steam in an oven, or steam in a kitchen or whatever. Everyone knows the steam in a pot is mamish thick, and makes rivers of water coming out of it. Right? Get the glass top pot, you'll see it's like mamish a river, because that's a very small enclosed space. Everyone knows steam in an oven. Yeah, you open the oven sometimes, you get a little burst of steam, but it's not so thick. You don't see rivers going on in your oven, so very pashut. The Rav Schechter actually likes to use different words in this. He calls it Hevel Hakedera versus Zeya Shebetaner. Hevel Hakedera, that is super thick. And therefore it mixes the tam of everything. But the Zeya in the oven, that's not as thick as inside a pot. That's what the Rush is saying. I know I'm not talking about inside a pot. I'm talking about it spreads out a little. Okay, if it spreads out a little, it's not comparable. Right? This is thin. This is not so thick. Everyone knows, even in an oven where the oven has steam inside, it's not just thick steam. Even if you're cooking a pot of soup uncovered and steam comes out, that's not the same as steam in a covered pot. That is much less thick. And therefore, this you can't prove from Kedeira, but you can prove from Machshirin. You can't prove from Kedeira, but you can prove from Machshirin. If you could prove from Machshirin, then what's the din? You can't prove from Kedeira, you can't prove from Machshirin that it carries the ta'am one way. After all, what can we prove from Machshirin? That the Zayah, the thing, counts as itself and goes someplace else. We never prove from, there's no proof from Machshirin that it gets the ta'am out of something else and brings it back into where it started. That we can't prove from Machshirin. So I want to say, why did the Rosh not go to Hevel HaKedeira? Because the Rosh knew he wasn't talking at that Madrega. He knew Hevel HaKedeira is mamish like Rotev. It's like everything's touching everything when you have steam in the pot. Because that is super duper duper thick. He's not talking about that. He's talking about steam in an oven. That's not so thick. For that, he needed to go to Machshirin. And therefore, he proved for Machshirin. But it's not the same Madrega as Hevel HaKedeira. All he proved for Machshirin is that when the steam spreads, it carries its, well, halachic status, which he then extrapolated to taste with it someplace else. Never proved that it takes the taste someplace else and brings it back to where it started from. So I think it's very meduyik in the Rosh, and very meduyik in the Shulchan Aruch, and very meduyik in the Sugyas that Rav Shechter is right. And all the Shulchan Aruch men hear is that the steam goes up. And then if you ask Rav Shechter, is my oven kosher? If you ask Rav Shechter, is your oven kosher? He would say, Avad, my oven's not kosher. I cook milk in it, the milk steam goes up, and like it says in the Rosh and Shulchan Aruch, makes the top of my oven treif. I cook meat in it, makes the top of my oven treif. The guy who lived here before me cooked lard, cooked poor ham in it, and it made the top of the oven treif. Avad, the top of my oven's treif, but who cares? I know my food doesn't touch the top of the oven. The steam touched the top of the oven? Yeah, the steam touches something treif. That doesn't bring the treif back down to the food underneath it. Just read Pashup Shad HaShulchan Aruch. Okay, it's more complicated. But
if one's making like this, is it not only the tops and the sides, it's also the shelves, the metal?
Maybe the steam will also go to the rack and make the rack milchik and make the rack fleishik, and then you could potentially have a problem. Good question. But I would say the same answer, which is, well, Rav Moshe already is not worried about the racks. Rav Moshe is already not worried about the racks. But part of the answer is, and who cares if the racks are treif? Even if the racks are treif, if the steam then goes to the rack, it's not going to take the treif out of the rack and put it back in my food.
Even if you put the food on it?
What if you... Okay, we'll get to that. Then you have Moshe's heter. What if you put food straight on the rack? That's a good point. According to Rav Shechter, you couldn't put food straight on the rack. Why? Because all the steam goes into the racks. And then the racks could be treif. You can't
racks.
Put your food straight on the rack. Certainly onto the top rack, right? From the bottom goes onto the top rack. And here it's not so clear. May very well be that it doesn't only go up. It goes outwards, right? Because like it spreads in all directions. So you're right. You couldn't put food on the racks.
How would it go
Most
down?
Most people don't put food in the racks anyway.
How would it go down?
Because the pressure makes it go down.
But it wouldn't go back down into the pot itself.
No, what I mean is that the steam spreads and carries its taste with it. It then doesn't get the taste out of something else and bring it back to where it came from. It radiates outward, not inward.
I think it's interesting. Meaning if you cook fleishik on the bottom shelf and then you're cooking milchik on the top shelf, doesn't mean that it's still rising to the pot, right?
At the same time, you?
No, not at the same time. Different times. You cook fleishik on the bottom and then you put milchik on top. It's not a rising, it just doesn't go back into the food.
Exactly. Okay, now, let us just see the Dogma Rebava. The Dogma Rebava starts making trouble. Says the Dogma Rebava. And the Gra seems to hold like the Dogma Rebava, maybe even more. It's a little unclear, because sometimes it's hard to tell what the Gra means. So we'll stick to the Dogma Rebava. Says the Dogma Rebava. Hazea Olav and never looked at Rosarta, but Gama Machmas Nasra. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say it. So the Dogma Rebava does say it. And Machor, what he means is that the Shulchan Aruch didn't say it, but it's he meant it. He just didn't bother to say it. He says explicitly, the machas also becomes us. It also goes back.
Just to clarify, when we say we're putting food in the racks, if the racks don't get wet, then if you put it in like a tinfoil tube, kale on top of one another.
No, he meant straight.
Straight up. Okay.
Yeah. Which I guess some people, it depends, but most people don't. Like I never put food straight on the racks in my oven. I mean, I have two ovens, but I still
potato, you might.
No, I always put on silver
bread.
Leather. Yeah, some people might. Like I have a toaster oven for bread. Okay, so that's a good concern. You have to ask Rav Shachter about that, I assume you would say. He never does that. Okay, it says the Dagmar Vava, the Gamma Machvas Nesra Shazeya Nesra Vosarta. Ba'ayim b'magen Avram, sim tof menach, sim tof men dalet, ba'ayim l'kamen, sim tof ches, sif alof, b'hagosh, akos, elim kemi, ziyam ach, nishneyem, etc. Let's get to that in a moment. This is Shita 1. However, here you have Shita 2, which is the Dagal Mervava. The Dagal Mervava, Alpi, the Magen Avraham, and the Ramah. Right, the Magen Avraham is a little tricky, because he's quoting Magen Avraham, Hilchas Pesach. It's always hard to bring rayas from Hilchas Pesach, just because we're always more machmor on Pesach. But okay, that's what the Dagmar says. He says he has a Ramah and a Magen Avraham, and he says, nope, it also goes back down and asers what is underneath. And in which case, you're in trouble if you have the same oven for meat and milk. Because when you cook milk, it makes the top of the oven milchik. Then when you cook meat, it goes up, makes the top of the oven treif, and then takes that treif out of the top of the oven, brings it back into your food, and makes a treif. That's the Dagmar Vava. The question is, what? I'm not sure that should make a difference, though, because your steam is not touching the meat, just the kedera of the meat. So I hear what you're saying. I'm just not sure why that should make a difference. If it gets the bliya out of a pot to bring down to your machlas, why shouldn't it get the bliya out of an oven wall to bring down to your machlas? You say, is it a bliya that's coming right now and a bliya that came this morning? But I don't see a mucker for that in the general here or there. So it's possible, but I don't see it. Okay, now this is a big question. According to this, you should need separate ovens for meat and milk. The question is, in what circumstances was the Dagmar Vava talking about? So here you have a bit of a machlokas. If you look in the Imri, first, he'll tell you what I think. He quotes a Magen Avraham. If you look up the Magen Avraham, maybe you didn't, but maybe you should put it on the sheet, says the Magen Avraham something interesting. He says, if you take your oven, some people take their ovens and they put compartments in their oven. And they put compartments in the sides of the oven and compartments on top of the oven until you're left with a very small space in the middle. I'm not sure why they did that. I'm sure some historian knows. Kechlin. I don't know what that means. Everyone speak Yiddish here? All right, Moshe. Anyway, it's interesting. He says, people who put compartments in their oven on the sides and on the top and you're left with a very small space, then it's a big problem because you cook chametz there and it makes the roof chametz stick. And then when you cook on Pesach there, it brings the chametz out of the roof back into your food and makes your food chametz stick. Big problem, just like the Dagmar Vava. Okay, now you can never tell, just something's usher on Pesach doesn't mean it's usher all year long. And the Magen Avraham didn't say anything about all year long meat and milk, but I think a bigger deal. The Magen Avraham didn't say it's a problem to use the same oven on Pesach. He says, I mean, the Gemara, of course, says it's a problem to use the same oven on Pesach. Yeah, because the oven was the baking pan, because they would stick their bread to the oven. I'm talking about nowadays, right? We don't stick anything to the oven. We just put pots there. He says, only if you make all kinds of compartments on the side of the top and leave a very small space. Okay, I don't know what he meant there, but maybe what he meant is only if it's a very small space. And the Ramah, even more so. What does the Ramah say in Kufches? Let me read you the Ramah. Says the Ramah in Kufches. We'll get to it, but it'll be a while. Says the Ramah. Here we are. Im afu otsolu iser v'heter tachas machvas achas megulin aser. If you bake or roast treif and kosher under one pan, uncovered, it is aser afilu b'di evet, because of the reich. V'hu adinim afu b'chi agav m'pasim basar aser l'ochlo b'cholof. Avol b'zeh v'zeh in lachas. One after the other is no problem. Unless the steam condensed, it sweated both times. So what does the Ramah here say? He says, don't worry about, cooking kosher and treif, or I'd say it'd be for meat and milk, one after the other, unless it sweated both times. If it condensed steam both times, it's a problem. That's before it's done in our father. If there was steam the first time, time goes out, goes off to the roof. If it's steam the second time, here the time goes up. It also goes back down into your food. But what's the case that Rama's talking about here? Under a pan. What does Rama mean by under a pan? By food. Where's the pan? What does under a pan mean? And here, I think, a lot of people misunderstand the Rambam, what he meant by under a pan, because he's not as clear in the Mappa as he could be, but I think it's clear. If you look in the Darkei Moshe there, he says what he means by under a pan. He says, quoting from lots and lots of Rishonim, etc. Sorry, where am I? Uvachuvas Maimini, etc. Im afal kira pashita v'kafu alav kli barzel. They overturned a metal pan onto it, etc., etc. Then that's exactly the case that he is talking about. I mean, what does under a pan mean? It means kafu. They overturned it. Basically, it means in a very small enclosed space the size of a pot. So I think Pashup shot in the Dogma Mirvava. If you look at the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham says only if you make your oven tiny. Now, I don't know what he meant. I don't know how big their ovens were and how big their oven became. But if you look at the Ramah, what does the Ramah say? If you put it under a pan. He doesn't say you put it in an oven. He says under a pan. And what does he mean by under a pan? Not under a right side up pan. Then there'd be lots of room. Under an upside down pan. Kafu alav klishel barzel. So I think, la'anyazdati, the pashtos of the Dogel Mervava, pashtos ha-Dogel Mervava, al pi, Dinuk, Magen Avraham, Virama, is that he's only talking about a tiny enclosed space. He's only talking about a tiny space, in which case, halachically, he's the same as Shita 1. It's a totally different parsha, not totally different way of reading the Shulchan Aruch. But it might come out the same as one. First way of reading the Shulchan Aruch is he's talking about an open space. And of course, this theme like takes the taste one way, but doesn't bring it back in. The second way of reading the Shulchan Aruch is no, he's talking about a tight and closed space, and it brings the time out and brings it back in. But still, he's only talking about an enclosed space. He's not talking about an unenclosed space, be medayik in the Ramah. The Ramah only said if it's under a pan. Be medayik in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham only says if you stuff up your oven with compartments and leave a little space. Now, so a lot of they say, no, maybe he meant a big space, just not a giant space. I don't know what their ovens look like. Pasuk shot.
The other question is that, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch is basically according to the Rush verbatim, and so that means that he's assuming that that was the case of the Rush for Pashas.
Yeah. Okay.
So then, Padak Ashadotha, because the Rush is bringing a raya from Mashirin.
Okay, then, according to this chat, I don't have an answer to that question. Can't be said. And the phenomenon. Yeah.
If that's the case, then why don't we not mention that even in like a big oven, you can't put anything within a few inches from the top, or
because there's still a lot of space for the steam to expand. Even if it's a few inches from the top, but the steam will just expand all over instead of getting tightly thick, right? Even if I have a big oven and I put my pot near the top, it doesn't matter. The steam will just go all over the place instead of getting super thick. Says the Imre Baruch in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know where the Imre Baruch is in your Shulchan Aruch. I apologize. In mine, it's in the back, something called the Yalkut Mefarshim. Where's the Imre Baruch in someone else's Shulchan Aruch? No. There's an Imre Baruch on everything. There's an Imre Baruch on Chavos Das. This is the Imre Baruch on the Dogel Mervava. Right? The Imre Baruch on the Dogel Mervava says, I'll read you the Imre Baruch on the Dogel Mervava. Okay, Kivaldik. He says, you ready? Nirtav betzido. Hecha shebasuach tzach natzad l'mala. If there's a little opening on top on the side, like for a vent, yesh lomar she'en ozeh yuret eshov l'mata, rachol liyot l'mata, yolach l'osir l'chot. If there's a little vent, then of course it doesn't come back and asr the dogmer baba. It didn't mean if there's a vent, it comes back and asr this machvas. No, then it just goes out the vent. He meant if there's no vent, it comes back and asr the machvas. So, B 2.2 says the Imre Baruch. He doesn't say small, big, but he says if there's a vent, then even the Dogel Mervava admits. Even the Dogel Mervava admits that the Machvas is mutter. Only if there's no vent, then the machvas is asura. What does he say? When is the steam going to come back down into the food and asur? Only if there's no vent. But if there's a vent, then it won't. Give me a break. If there's a vent, you think the steam's going to take the taste out of the oven roof and bring it back into your food? No way, it'll go out the vent. On the way, it'll bring your taste into the oven roof. But it won't come back and ask the machmas if there's a vent, in which case modern ovens have vents. So you end up the same as Rav Schechter. So basically, now, let's just look for a second at 2.3 is the Igros Moshe. Says the Igros Moshe, someone said, are you allowed to use the same oven for meat and milk? Says the Igros Moshe, are you allowed to use the same oven for meat and milk? Says the Igros Moshe. And he said, well, he said there are three reasons this fellow, I forget who the fellow is.
Schloss.
But his name, Rabbi Schloss.
Schloss.
Okay, Rabbi Schloss Shlita. He said, well, our ovens are big, they have a lot of space. And our ovens have a vent. And the third taino, I admit, was not quite as clear. But he said, what's his tam gimel? That, yeah, as, if you don't do it like a second later, then it probably got like burnt off by the heat of the oven. Okay, I'm not sure what these three tainos mean. Ramosh says these three tainos are not true at all. He says, number one, it's just as big, who cares that it's big? Yeah, by Reich, the heter are big, but it has to be very big. And the door open, and ours aren't that big. Hey, who cares if they, he's not sure if there's a vent. If there's a vent, who cares if there's a vent? And he says, who cares if all the Zaya was already burnt up? It's still a blia in the roof of the oven. Okay, I think I know what the fellow meant by his three tainas. His first two tainas were exactly the Pashas, the Dogim Ervav, and the Emre Baruch. He says, what do you mean the Dogim Ervav says that it goes back down and asks for your food only if it's very small? Like a pot, or like an oven that you make 80% of it into compartments and left a little spot. Or like if you overturn a pan onto something. And then that's called a Dutch oven, I think, right? You overturn a pan onto something. That is when there's a problem that the Zeya will asur your food. But in our ovens, it's not a problem. And the Imri Bar says the Zeya will only asur your food when there's no vent. But our ovens have a vent and there's no problem. Okay, where Moshe wasn't makabel that. I think what he meant by his third time is that since our ovens go on very high, maybe they do leave it on themselves in kasher. And Rav Moshe apparently didn't think that was high enough. But says Rav Moshe, nope. Rav Moshe rejects this. He rejects the above two possibilities. They were mentioned to him, and he rejected them. Why did he reject them? He had a good reason, no doubt. He had a different shot in the Dogma Rebava, right? It's not that he didn't understand where the guy was coming from. He understood where the guy was coming from. And he just didn't accept that pshat. What does he say? He says, no, across the board, the machlas is asura. So if you ask, what's the status of modern day ovens? Maybe I should keep this there. There's the case in some. This is the Ramah Siman Kof Ches. I think a lot of people misunderstand the Ramah Kof Ches. They think he means if you put it underneath a right side up machlas, oh, there's plenty of room, and yet it still asks what's underneath it. No. Says, look in the original Rishon in the Darki Moshe, Kof. Okay, so the what about modern ovens? Ovens for meat and milk, or for kosher and treif. According to Pshat 1, it is perfectly mutter, no problem. According to Pshat 2.1, it's perfectly mutter. Why? Because there's space in an oven. I know it's not a giant oven. But it's still, it's not like inside a pot. You could tell it's not the same as inside a pot. According to Pshat 2.2, mutter, if you have a vent in your oven. I know all normal ovens have vents. I don't know about gross ovens. If they have vents. Do they have vents?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Valid.
It spends a long time venting after.
Yeah, but is that?
Oh, no, I don't mean the new gross ovens. I mean the old gross ovens.
Yeah.
Like the toaster ovens that you put on your counter.
I would say so.
Do those have vents?
Yeah.
No, I don't mean now with gross ovens aren't gross ovens. They're just ovens that happen to be in gross. I didn't mean gross ovens as in English poets. I meant grist ovens as in English muffins. I didn't mean ovens that happened to be in grist. I meant the special kind of oven people had in grist before they put them on in kitchens. Does everyone have a real oven in their apartment?
I think they made it.
All right, whatever. So, okay, you guys don't remember the board.
I
don't
think toaster ovens are not.
When we were college. What?
I don't think toaster ovens are invented. There's regular toaster ovens.
Okay, so those toaster ovens are not invented. So if they only had toasters, the Emery Baruch wouldn't help. It could be the Emery Baruch also agrees to the other shot. Okay, but here we have.
And also those were pretty, I don't know how big they were, but those were pushes very small.
What, the toaster ovens? No, they were pretty big.
No, they were big, okay.
I don't imagine a toaster oven like what you put toast in America. It was like this big.
That's big.
Someone asked for chef, we said that's big enough.
Everybody thinks that's big enough.
Someone asked for chef, we think it's big enough, and I agree. Yeah. According to this, it would be usher. According to our Moshe, and that's where Moshe Taka says it's usher. Now, however, we have one mystery. What's the one mystery? The mystery is this. Right? How do we... Right? Why did Shas Uposkin never worry about Zeya in ovens, right? Now I have a question. Why did Shas Uposkin never worry about Zeya in the ovens? So for them, some of these Pshatim were okay, right? But for Moshe, we have a problem, right? If you hold, you take the Dugan Mirvacha and you take the most macro version of the Dugan Mirvacha, then he needs it all circumstances. Even in a big space, even in a big space with a vent, which Ramosha is explicit about, against the Pashtas. Nope, in all circumstances, the Zeya will bring the taste up to the oven roof and then get it out of the oven roof and bring it back down into your food. Then, how come no one worried about that until Ramosha or until the Dugan Mirvacha? Why isn't it in the Rishonim? Why isn't it in the Shulchan Aruch? Why isn't it in the Shas? So Ramosha has an answer. Ramosha has an answer based on a different question, which is, what about Zeyas Ochlin? What about Zeya of food as opposed to drinks? What about Zeya of food? So says the Pesach Tshuva here, Sivkot Nevav, Ayin Prim Gadol Rechaim, Bad Hagas Ahoras Isra Vahetor, Seh Yushen Yus, Lom Zayin, Shekasim, Ram, Parag Zayin, Tuz Ochlin, Dalm, Vur, Dabin, Zeyas Mashkipo, Vol Ochlin, Vachil, Vahotach, Ein Zey Aso, Kambohu. Im Ken, Yishladun Tuva, etc. Says, the Prima Gadon says, only Zeya, it's a halachic halos, only Zeya of Mashkin counts as the same property as where it came from. Zeya of Ochlin doesn't count. Not Ben Tzius, Al Pi Halacha. Says the Prima Gadon, Zeya of Ochlin doesn't count. So says the Prima Gadon, Al Pi Din, Zeyas Ochlin, Eino kemo ha'ochel. So in which case, if you cook solid food in your oven instead of boiling pots in your oven, then the zeh is not a problem, because the zeh of a solid food is not considered to be like it. Why? Gas is like a liquid, so gas comes from a liquid of the same halachic status. Gas is very different from a solid, so that has no halachic status. That's called zeh be'alma. That has no halachic status. Okay, Rav Moshe says we're not sure we rely on this, but, and here he's not quoting, but he's implicitly quoting, the Darkei Moshe gives another pshat. The Darkei Moshe in Kof Ches says, how come in this case it's mutter? Why isn't this just like a pot cover? It's inside a pot. Why in this case do the Rishonim say it's mutter? To put meat pie at 1 o'clock and cheese pie at 2 o'clock? When, if you cook meat in the pot at 1 o'clock and milk in the pot at 2 o'clock, it's a problem. Says the Darkei Moshe, so when you cook things in liquid, mistama, they have a lot of zeya. When you cook solids, when you roast solids, mistama, they don't have zeya, unless it's a rare case where you notice they have zeya. And that's meduyik in the Lashon Ramban Kof Ches. He doesn't say, if you cook even in a tiny closed space, milchik followed by fleishik, it's usher. He says it's mutter unless it had zeya both times. What does that mean? Minastama doesn't have zeya. So Moshe says the Darkei Moshe and the Igros Moshe, Moshe and Moshe will come to Moshe. Says the Igros Moshe, he says no, not Alpi Din, but Alpi Metzius. Alpi Metzius. Min hastam ein zeya be ochlin. in. I'm going to just put it in English so it'll be easier for us to follow. In solid ochel. Ochel shehinim etuhachim is what he would say. What's he saying? He's saying there's a difference in him and the prima, this kula and the prima gadim. Prima gadim's kula would apply even to melted foods. As long as it's a haloshem food, let's say melted fat, it's a haloshem food, it's not a haloshem drink. So the zeir wouldn't count, because that's alpi din. He's not saying alpi din, he's saying alpi metzias. Alpi metzias solids, right, don't produce a lot of steam. Obviously they produce some steam. If you bake a cake in your oven, it produces some steam. But not significant steam. Liquids produce a lot more steam. That's definitely true, I think. Liquids produce more steam than solids. So, says Rav Moshe, not alpi din, alpi metzias, you don't have to be choshesh, we're not choshesh rosé and solids, and that's the Lashna Ramban Kofches. The Ramban Kofches is even inside a pot, inside a pan. Says the Ramah, there's no problem cooking kosher or treif or milk and fleishik one after the other. Unless they were zeya both times. Meaning it's no problem if they were zeya both times, an exceptional case. But minastam, we don't worry about zeya. Right? Minastam, there's no zeya in solids. Therefore, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, there's no problem. What's the answer? Why were Chazal and all the sugyas of ovens never worried about meat and milk in the same oven, or kosher and treif in the same oven at different times? Right? The answer is because they were all talking about roasting meat in your ovens. They were all talking about roasting meat in your ovens. They weren't talking about cooking liquids in your ovens. Maybe they didn't cook liquids uncovered in their ovens. I don't know. Why would you cook uncovered liquids? Nowadays, sometimes, like, we cook, like, I guess, chicken with gravy or something. Who said they cooked chicken with gravy in those days? They probably didn't. They probably just cooked stews. Or they roasted, either rotisserie or stew. So he says, very poshut. Because either, you know, because there's no problem of zeya in solid foods, either al pidin, like the prima gadim, or ben tzias, like mi Moshe et Moshe, like the darki Moshe and the igros Moshe. And therefore, minastam, how do you, I mean, he's not worried about the mystery, but how do you solve the mystery of why no one cared about separate ovens for meat and milk until all of a sudden, you know, until all of a sudden people started worrying about this in the modern era? So either, because Rav Schechter's right, because you don't need separate ovens for meat and milk. Let the top of your oven be treif, it won't hurt anything. Or because, and you go even further, according to the Bach, even the top of your oven won't be treif, because once there's a lot of space, it won't even go in one direction and get thermal. Or that, no, of course it's a problem to put meat and milk in the same oven if there's zeya. But they all the sugyas are about roasting salads in the oven. All the shulchan aruchs are on Rishon are about roasting salads in the oven or baking salad pies in the oven. They didn't cook saucy chicken in the old. That wasn't a recipe in the old days. They cooked stew. We know they had stews in the old days. They had cholent in the old days. We never heard of cooking saucy chicken in a pan in the old days. They cooked either stew inside a pot. What did they do in the old days? If they were cooking a stew or a soup or a cholent, they covered the pot so that it wouldn't boil away. And then there's no zeya. And if they were roasting a solid food, there's no zeya. And that's why they never worried about it. And a chanami. Now that you cook saucy chicken, life has changed. You have to start worrying about something that wasn't in the old days. That is Rav Moshe Shita.
I'm just going to go a little back. Why is this case not like a case of a drop that fell, can I get a top shelf? Meaning, why is the kadeira
zero? It is, but a drop that fell, can I get a top shelf is only mutter if the top shelf is 60 times the drop. Here, there's a lot of drops. So, that the Ramah admits it's mutter. If this top shelf is 60 times...
There must have, if it's 60 times, are we saying the kadeira would be mutter then, even?
That would depend on the machlokas we saw earlier about what happens if it's connected to rotev. The truth is, when Ramah himself, even connected to rotev, the kadeira stays also just the food inside is mutter.
Yeah.
And that depends on the Ramah versus Marashah. Okay, now, this is the base, yeah.
The Rosh, this case of bringing milk, they never heated up milk.
What?
The Rosh brought a machbash of challah.
Why would anyone cook uncovered milk in an oven? Isn't that really stupid? Why would you cook uncovered? What happens if you cook covered milk in an oven? Like you want to boil milk. What happens if you boil a covered pot of milk? When you take it out and open the cover, what do you find? Your milk. What happens if you boil an uncovered pot of milk? Then, when you take it out, you lost half your milk. So why would anyone do that? The Rush once had a Shiloh where this happened for some reason, so he dealt with it. But that wasn't a normal lifestyle. Why would any idiot boil an uncovered pot of milk in an oven? Now, you can't ask, so how did the Rush have a Shiloh? No, a shayla happens once, right? People make mistakes once, but it's not normal life, right? Normal life, even nowadays. I never heard of anyone boiling an uncovered pot of milk in their oven, even nowadays. And I know a lot of weird people.
Never someone just like heat up a cup of milk not in the microwave?
But they didn't have microwaves in the old days. That's not Akasha.
Really?
And
we'll see. Even our Moshe's roof of Kodesh microwaves was not as even though we saw it was not as great as it could have been. But we'll get to that. Now, so what have I said so far? So far, I have two main shitas. The two main shitas are number one. I really think a pashas is like or Rav Shechter. I think Rav Shechter is Pashat Pshat in Shulchan Aruch, even Pashat Pshat in Dovim Levava, Pashat Pshat in Ramah, Pashat Pshat in Shas and Poskin. If you ask me, not how I Poskin, but if you ask me who I think is really correct, I think Rav Shechter is really correct. It's just like someone should have said 300, 500, 700, 1500 years ago that you need separate ovens for meat and milk at some point. Someone should have brought that up, at least when they were in the sugyas of Recha and ovens. Someone should have connected the word Zeya to the word ovens. No one connected Zeya to ovens. In the Shulchan Aruch, Zeya is about a machlas under a kedera. And in Kofches, Zeya is about when you overturn a pan onto food in the oven. No one ever connected the word Zeya to stop cooking in ovens until the modern era. So Pashas from Shechter is correct. My Rebbe Mary Willig, Paskins like Reb Moshe. My Rebbe Mary Willig, Paskins like Reb Moshe. What is Reb Moshe's Shita? Reb Moshe's Shita is that dry, dry has to be dry, solid. Solid foods have no problem with Zeya, but liquids have a problem with, uncovered liquids have a problem with Zeya. And that is, if you want to know what are the three main shitas on ovens, let's put the three main shitas lamaisa on ovens. Lamaisa, one is Rav Shechter. He says everything's mutter, except putting meat and milk in the oven at the same time.
Uncovered.
Meat and milk in the oven at the same time, uncovered, could be a problem, at least of Recha, if not worse. Two is Rav Willig, who's not his own psak. He's just possibly like Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says that solids are mutter, covered liquids are mutter, only uncovered liquids are usser. Only uncovered liquids are usser. And
covered liquids are one. You just need a covered.
And even the uncovered liquids, yeah, just one to make sure the steam doesn't escape. And even uncovered liquids, it's only usser if you have both meat and milk or both kosher and treif. Like, for example, if for some reason, I don't know why, you want to cook treif in your oven covered liquids, that's fine. You can cook uncovered kosher and covered treif. The treif won't have steam. Or if more practically, let's say you usually eat fleishik. So you cook uncovered saucy chicken fleishik in your oven. You just don't cook uncovered liquid milchik in your oven. Then you're okay, because it'll be full of fleishik steam, but it won't have milchik steam. Right? So that Reb Moshe doesn't go into so much detail, but uncovered liquids usser, but you can cook one type, just not both. In which case, according to Reb Moshe, and this is my minhag, I'll be my Rebbe very willing. Now my minhag is I moved to Eretz Yisrael, and I built my own house, so I put room for two ovens, so I don't have to worry. But in America, where I was renting a house, I couldn't decide how many ovens. I didn't have room for two ovens. What did I do? So I followed Reb Moshe, and I made my oven fleishik, and I cooked any fleishik I want, and milchik, I cooked solid milchik, like pizza, which is solid, because cheese is solid. It melts a little, but it doesn't really melt. You can't pour it.
The sauce
what?
Pizza sauce.
The sauce, well, like I said, the pizza sauce is absorbed in the dough, and it's not really milk, it's not a problem. The pizza sauce isn't really, you take a pizza that you're cooking in the oven, and you tilt it, you don't start pouring.
Oil.
What?
Put the oil in.
Yeah, that's not liquid.
I just remember everyone gets to explicitly have pizza. And I'll cook a covered pot of milk in my oven, although I never put on the stove. I just won't cook uncovered liquid milk in my oven, which I wouldn't do that much anyway, so it's not such a big deal. I don't know, maybe sometimes there'd be some, maybe cheesecake you have to do that, I don't know. I guess we didn't. And if we want to make cheesecake, we would kosher the oven in between. That is the minhag of Rav Moshe. Let me just, okay.
What's the margin there? You take the pan of milk and you put it in the oven, put tinfoil over it. You don't be concerned there's a cut in the tinfoil, you take it out a little bit, steam goes up. What point do we say that's a problem? What point do we say like,
what happens if you take it out and a little bit of steam goes up? Well, first of all, if you're taking it out with the door open and a little bit, I wouldn't worry when the door is open, then it's really very open space. It could be even remote if you make a lead. That if the door is open, then how's the steam going to get stuck there? What if a little escapes? All right, since Acker did her Schefter's right anyway, we don't worry too much. There are two other shitas. Number one, yes.
Clarification. If we're assuming if someone, let's say someone made meat, barely put the meat in that the oven. If I now turn on the oven, there's no zeh, there's nothing in it.
Someone made very liquidy meat in the oven.
Now he's done, he takes it out.
Now he's done, he takes it out.
And now the oven is still going on.
Now the oven is still going on.
The zeh for the previous zeh does not come back.
I mean, once you open the door and all the zeh disappears, and then the oven's on for a minute, I don't think zeh is. Yeah, if you want to be very clever, you know, you can still chop that zeh in the oven while you put your milk in if you work very hard. But the normal way people do things, they open the oven, they take something out, they wait a minute, they open the oven, they put something in. So because the reyach, you have to open the door enough or wait till the reyach dissipates. In any case, based on the sugyas of the kimono and the truma and the oven. But, you know, the normal way people cook should not be a problem, unless you were trying to make trouble.
Are you worried about reyach if something's completely covered?
No, not at all.
So if you,
even the chaktiva.
And then you got two things to close at the same time.
Yeah, valid. Pasha. The force of someone confess.
In terms of, if something spills in the oven on the rack.
What if someone spills in the oven? Come back. Let me get to that in a second, okay? Okay. Now, I want to mention two more shitas.
What
will say?
Does the shafter have one oven?
What?
Does the shafter have one oven?
He makes it sound like he does, but I don't know. You know, it's, I was going to say I've never been in his kitchen. Could be at one set foot in his kitchen, but I've never, purposely been into his kitchen.
Simon says he's one.
What? Okay, probably. I've been in his dining room. Or Schefter's dining room was, you know, probably more hana than his kitchen. But I don't know if I've ever been in his kitchen. I'm so much other
than his kitchen.
Okay, anyway, two more sheets I want to mention. One is Shita, okay, we'll have to...
What is Rav Moshe answer to all the Tainas leveled against him?
First of all, I just leveled the Tainas, right? But I answered for him. All the Tainas from the fact that no one brought up Zeh in the Sugya of ovens, it's because, they all used to cook solid food in their ovens or covered pots in their oven. They never cooked uncovered liquids in the oven in the old days. They didn't have our recipes. So that's why they never worried about Zeh. All the Sugyas of ovens are about roasting meat. That's solid.
What about just the shot in the Shulchan Aruch and the fact that the Dag Omer Vava, if you learn the source he looks up, implies the Okim Thas?
I don't know. It's a good question.
You didn't ask for Willig at any point?
I should have, but at least I don't remember. Okay. Anyway, there's Shita 1.5, which is it's not my very Willig sock, but what's 1.5? This is a Mipi HaShmua. Mipi HaShmua. Some Talmidim Rav Moshe, we know which Talmidim Rav Moshe, the Riv was Ephraim. Heard from the Riv, so a few people report from the Riv was Ephraim said, sometimes the Talmidim Rav Moshe have a slightly more makel thing they heard from Rav Moshe than what's written in the Igros. Not from east to west, and they're just making things up. How can it be that he said one thing and you claim you heard the opposite, then you're not trustworthy? But there are a few sugyas that tell me what Moshe say. Taka, he was a little more mako than he wrote in the Igros Moshe, he just didn't want to write that. So the Rivos Ryan Clay says he heard from Rav Moshe, and this is what Rabbi Chaim Jacker says he heard from Lichtenstein, this Achra as well. I don't remember if I asked Rav Lichtenstein myself or not. But. No, he didn't hear from Rav Moshe. I don't think. But here is Rav Moshe Mipi HaShmua, and also Rav Lichtenstein Mipi HaShmua,
say, a compromise. What's the compromise? We all know, let's say, taka, you cook in a treif pot, but it hasn't been used in 24 hours. What's the status of your food?
Kosher.
You shouldn't do that l'chachila, but it's still okay with the evid. So the compromise is, within 24 hours, that's a shayla of tarfus, where then we're a little more machmir. After 24 hours, it's going to be kosher either way. It's just a shayla l'chachila. Then we can be more mako. So say these mikiyah shmua. What? Yeah, exactly. Here they say that even uncovered liquids, and it's in between one and two, even uncovered liquids are mutter if it's eino ben yomo, if it's been 24 hours since the last use.
It's lechatchila.
Lechatchila. That's the chiddush. The yev is no chiddush. Meaning, the reason I call it 1.5 is because they're really saying is that ben yomo and eino ben yomo, ben yomo they hold like Rav Moshe, and Eina ben Yomo, they hold like Rav Schechter. I don't mean the rivers are frying. Heard what Rav Schechter said. I just mean he holds like that cheetah. I'm sure Lichtenstein also didn't hear what Rav Schechter said. They're older than Rav Schechter. So that's their compromise. After 24 hours, do whatever you want. Within 24 hours, be macro and uncovered liquids. Then that's a very, very small cover. Okay, but there's also Shita 3.
Who's the real source of Rav Schechter, Shita? So obviously, this is an issue before Rav Schechter. Around.
But sort of Schechter understands that in the Aruch HaShulchan I mentioned yesterday. I understood the Aruch HaShulchan slightly differently, but funny people. The truth is that
also like every gadol
give me a second. If you you're right. The Yabia Omer quotes a gazillion achronim who say this way. You want names. So the Yabia Omer quotes a gazillion achronim who say this way. You want some names? Fine. Yeah. The Shut Beis Yaakov, quoted in Rav Avadia Bar Zira. The Yad Yehuda. The Chavos Das sounds that way. If you look at the Chavos Das in the back here, he says, you know what? The steam going up to the pot is just like steam going up to the top of a spoon, which brings the taste into the spoon, but doesn't bring the taste back from the spoon down into your food.
Who says that?
The Chavos Das in the back right here. Now, maybe you could be dope and say, he didn't mean just like, he meant partially like, but here it's really more machmir. That's what he says. So there are a lot, and you'll just look at Ravad, you'll find a whole bunch more achronim. So there are lots of achronim who say against the Dogma Ravad. So not to worry, your chef, there's plenty on his side. Plenty of achronim on his side, I just didn't mention them all. Okay, the third shita though, is the Minchas Yitzhak. The Minchas Yitzhak. It's interesting. It seems to me when they started with modern kitchens, the two people who wrote the biggest tshuvas on them were Moshe Feinstein, and the Minchas Yitzhak was Rav Yitzhak Yaakov Weiss, who was a big dayan in England, and then made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, was a dayan in Eid HaChareis. Very, very well respected.
Is he the guy that
No, that's Rav Tovia Weiss. Is he related? I don't know if he's related or not. You know, there's a lot of Weiss out there. So maybe it's a son, maybe it's someone not related. Anyway, no. This was in the days of Moshe. It wasn't a long time ago. The Gaivid now, Rav Tovia Weiss, is, a big Talmud Chacham, etc. But he's not, world famous shut like the Minchas Yitzhak that everyone reads, for generations to come. That's not trying to put him down or anything. It's okay, not everyone is on the level of Minchas Yitzhak and Rav Moshe Feinstein. The Minchas Yitzhak, he took Rav Moshe on sometimes explicitly, sometimes not, and all the modern kitchens. All the modern kitchen shilas are all the machlokes of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Make a Minchas Yitzhak Nachmer. They're not the only ones, but they're. So the Minchas Yitzhak says he's more Nachmer. Says the Minchas Yitzchak, he says, even solids are usser. Even solids are usser. This numbering system is not the same as that numbering system. I don't want to confuse anyone. We'll call this Aleph. We'll call this bet. We'll call this bet star. and we'll call this gibble. Okay.
So nothing to do with that other 1, 2, 3 song. That was the opposite.
Anyway, he says, even solids are also no heter whatsoever, except for covered food. Covered food is mutter, avada. But, okay, I'm a very dumb man. I once said to my wife, why can't we just solve all the problems by covering everything in the oven? And she explained to me that, well, it changes the recipe if it's covered or not. Like, it comes out a different dish. So I had no idea, but apparently that's why it was covered and uncovered. And then I thought about the physics behind it, and it made sense. But yeah, it's like, if you make this covered, it's a different food. Yeah, okay, whatever it may be. Anyway, Lemaisa, he says, there's no heter whatsoever. Even solid foods, there's no heter whatsoever. Why? Why is he so machmir? After all, okay. So zeis ochlin zochlin, but doesn't the Ramah say that normally there's no zeya by solid foods, and in the time of the Gemara they didn't worry about cooking kosher and treif in the same oven one after the other, and that's what Ramah said. They didn't worry about meat pies and milk pies in the oven one after the other. So if you look in this long, in Chassidus and Vav, he says very simply, he says, even though it's a mefurish taras chatas and dark emotion, at menastam, you don't worry about zayah for salads. Mikol makom, but neither don't open a vash and verum zim harbe kinodim emetzios. We don't care near shlochush. Yeah, but in our ovens, like we see, there's a lot of steam, so it's different. Actually, you know, he puts. Remember, there's a mystery here. Like, how come we're machmer if you don't find that in shas and poskim? So he's like Mavliya, he like hides the answer in this line. He says, oh yeah, ain't it? I mean, the time of the Ramam and Astam, there wasn't Zeya for solids. But nowadays we see there is. Nowadays it's different. Okay, why is it different nowadays? I guess you would say our ovens are different from their ovens. They used to burn wood, and now we have different ovens. They're built different, and this and that. And maybe our food is different. I mean, not so different. Maybe with different recipes, I don't know. Lemaisa says them in Chas Yitzchak, I know that in the days of the Ramam they wouldn't have worried about it. But nowadays, there's more zeya than in the old days, and therefore, even solid foods are machmir, which means you have to have separate ovens for meat and milk, and whether solid or liquid, you can't cook uncovered milk and fleishik in the same oven. That is the sheet of the Menchus Yitzchak. That is the sheet of the Menchus Yitzchak. Interesting, Rav Avadya, even though he's normally from the biggest Mekilim, also seems something that way. Yeah.
So would they say that if I'm cooking in a dairy oven, let's say the mamash from there, I'm not even
no, remember, even if you look in the dairy pot, it doesn't, you don't know, 6 hours.
No, but this is different, this is worse, because it's going back into the food, not into the pot.
1 second. No. What I meant to say is that, no. Because if I cook parv in a dairy oven, it's really something called not bar not. It's a secondary transfer. So you don't have to wait 6 hours before not bar not. It doesn't actually say that mefurish in the Nosi Kelim you're there, but it's assumed by the Brimi Gadon or Chayim, and it's mefurish to shut to Tamidas for some
Kluver. Even he could say, if both are covered, then it's not a problem.
Yeah, if it's covered, so everyone is okay.
Only one, you only cover one, why would that be a problem?
Then that's not a problem. So what would he say? Let's just give him a little space. He would say, I think what he would say is, you can cook covered milk and uncovered meat, or vice versa. Right, but there's no difference between solids and liquids. Even he would admit, if you have a fleishik oven, you can cook covered milk, so when it's covered, there's no steam. If you have a milchik oven, you can cook covered meat, but there's no special cool by solids. In which case, then taka, it's really hard to only have one oven. What does he say you should do if you have one oven? Buy two ovens, okay, but the... Then he moved from England to Israel. So he says, just kasher the oven in between. How do you kasher the oven in between? He says, number one, the main way to kasher the oven in between is just to turn it on and preheat it, and then it does leave it on itself. But he said the preferable way to kasher the oven, because of factors that we're not going to get into now, so we get to Bel's Kalim, is to turn it on and preheat it and put a bowl of water inside so it gets filled with steam and kavolo kapolto, and that's the mahadvi way to kasher the oven.
You mean covered?
Covered. Milk and meat at the same time? I think.
Meat.
Yeah, I think he would agree because it's a mefurish shulchan aruch and siman kofches. No, everyone agrees. Covered, you can do whatever you want.
Even the same time.
Even the same time. It's mefurish and siman kofches. There is a shach because in Israel there's a little machber, but the Achronim say that only means if it's covered with dough. But if it's covered with a pot cover, then everyone's making.
Is there the minister so you see is litfish?
He is. I think he's litfish. No, what? I think he's litfish. Even though it seems to us like everyone in the Eidah Haredis is Hasidish, and it's getting more and more true like every year, but it's not true. Rabbi Sturma is not a Hasid.
No, he's not a Hasid at all.
Yeah. So, and in the old days, it was mamish 50-50, Litfish and Hasidish. What?
It says it was
Hasidish.
All
right, take it back. Wikipedia wins.
So it's not a distinguished Hasid.
Okay.
Is that the excessive?
I assume so. Anyway, so the Maisa, bottom line, many people in Eretz Yisrael are machmer like the Minchas Yitzchak, and they just either have two ovens, or make the oven milchik and cover all meat. They only make covered meat recipes. Or they make the inflation, and the inflation can cover all milk. Or they kosher it in between. In America, most people hold either like Rav Schechter or like Rav Moshe Feinstein. In YU, most people hold either something like Rav Schechter, like Rav Schechter, or maybe very willing, like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay.
Does Rav Willig hold like
Rav Moshe? My thing is like Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Does he hold like Rav Moshe Feinstein because he thinks it's true, or because
he's I assume he holds like Rav Moshe Feinstein because he thinks it's true. Even though I've argued against that, but you know, there are many cases where I argue with Rabbi Willig and I don't always win. I've tried on occasion, but it's very hard to beat Rabbi Willig in an argument. you guys, even though you think you know how smart Rabbi Willig is, you have no idea.
Is the shekel weird about like things splattering on the sides of the oven?
Okay, give me a second. Okay, the other issue. Yeah.
Wait, so the way to get around this, I think Kirby just said this, but. The way to get around, just to clarify, is you just pick one to be uncovered and one to be covered.
Yes, according to the Michlis Yitzchak, then you'd be okay. And according to Rav Moshe, you just pick one, and the other one could be covered or solid uncovered. According to the chef, you just do whatever you want.
In the kosher, it only needs to be a regular temperature. You said preheat.
So it's interesting. So pashtus. Like, if you really wanted to kosher your oven, like when I'm American and really wanted to kosher my oven, I turn on to the highest temperature for an hour. Terry Belsky said if your oven goes up to a very high temperature, then an hour is called even power is good enough to kosher it. If your oven's not so strong, then maybe 2 hours. But what does he say? Let's see. Let me not misquote the Michlis Yitzchak because I don't want to confuse him with Rav Avadya. And then we'll move on to one other part that he talks about. What does he say here? He says... Then what you should do is, give me a second. Okay, it's a little more complicated, but where does he say here? He doesn't say exactly how long you have to turn it on for. All right, maybe you'd also turn it on for an hour. But his basic look at that, if the fire is inside the oven, it's enough to turn it on for an hour. If the fire is like underneath the oven and not inside the oven cavity, then he thinks you also need to put a pot of water there to fill with zeh in order to kosher. What? I think usually, I haven't had a gas oven for a while. The electric oven, the fire is always inside the cavity. In a gas oven, it might depend if you put it on broil or if you put it on regular. I'm not sure. Okay. In any case, okay, Rabosai. By the way, another big kula of some ovens is that some ovens, especially the old gross toaster ovens, have the heating element on top. The heating element on top, then you could say all the zeah naturally goes up and gets burnt by the heating element. It's all like an energy. You don't worry about zeah at all, so that Okay, I want to discuss one other thing, which is two other things. The other taina, big machlokas, the Minchas Yitzhak has with Rav Moshe. The other big machlokas the Minchas Yitzhak has with Rav Moshe. And for this, I want to look at the small sheet I handed out, the one-page sheet I handed out.
Do we know, like, every other rabbi who lived in the last 100 years, what they thought about this?
I'm sure you could check it out.
Or Shlomo Zalman's, like, she does not famous or whatever?
I never heard Shlomo Zalman, but he should have a psak, right?
Like, you have to, unless he didn't
eat.
Yeah,
I'm sure people asked him. Like,
he
lived near people with ovens. What he did is not necessarily a raya.
No, I was like, he must have had an oven.
Yeah, but maybe he was Mahadron himself or something.
Why is this?
You got this word?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like in America, everyone is Mahmer then.
Because of Rav Moshe.
No, like Mahmer is two ovens.
Why is everyone Mahmer more than Rav Moshe?
I don't know if it's like a true sense, but it's a sense.
Right, so why are people Mahmer more than Rav Moshe? So I can think of two theories. Either number one, because of the influence of. And maybe the influence of Hasidic Poskim, I don't know. Brooklyn Hasidic Poskim are very influential. Or the other answer, I think the main reason is just because, like, nowadays we could just get two ovens and, you know, without meaning to sound like that. But nowadays everyone's rich and everyone has big houses and big kitchens. They can afford two ovens and, like, they can afford a lot bigger things than that. So in Ramosha's days, like, okay, you really want to know what the din was. Right? Or if you're stuck in an apartment someplace, etc. Nowadays, I think Yishba Zemashu. It's one thing if you're like, your whole lifestyle is like doing what you can and making it day to day, etc., and it's cramped into an apartment or something. So, whatever. So, you follow the din. Nowadays, people build big houses with like a gazillion different rooms and with every fancy gadget in the kitchen. So they might as well have two ovens and then be mahadra on everything because of the mahadra no gashmius. Why not be mahadra on the halacha also? Right? It could be even Rav Moshe would admit. Rav Moshe never imagined people would look that way. Even Rav Moshe would admit, yeah, you're making a kitchen. Rav Moshe would say to you, you're building a kitchen twice the size of my whole house. And you're putting in gadgets that I never heard of that cost like a gazillion dollars. So put in two ovens, and why do you have to worry about it? So cooking is the reason why people are more macro nowadays is just because we have a luxurious lifestyle.
They probably also don't know. It's like confusing.
So toaster ovens nowadays basically cook like normal ovens. So should someone, I mean, like we use a toaster oven for dairy, basically. So should someone just do two ovens, but their dairy oven be just a toaster oven and also not run into any of these issues if possible?
It depends how much they like cooking in a toaster oven.
Okay. I think if there's no difference, then...
It depends how much they like cooking in a toaster oven. I don't know. I never tried. I'd be sort of afraid to tell my wife to cook in the toaster oven.
Meaning, is it ideally you should have two ovens?
No, I don't think it's ideally. No, I didn't say ideally. I said, if you have a luxurious lifestyle, give me a second.
You think the middle of this is also a thing that you can do one uncover, one cover at the same time?
It's mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch, that's mutter, but I'm not sure what the Mechas Yitzchak would say. It's a good question.
What would you say?
I'd be nervous.
Why?
Because maybe the Shulchan Aruch, well, it depends, but if the Shulchan Aruch is only about solid foods, and you're talking about a liquid food, then maybe the Shulchan Aruch would have been more machmer in Kofches. And since the Minchas Yitzchak says even our solid foods have more steam than the old solid foods, so he'd also be more machmer. Okay, so the mice would be machmer.
So if you walk into a kosher home that is not your oven there, you know who it is, it's a meter, it's a place, you have no idea.
The only
thing you can think twice if you're cooking liquid?
Yeah. According to Rav Moshe. According to Minchas Yitzchak, even if you cook salad.
You can be traced.
Right? But according to Rav Moshe, only if you cook liquid, uncovered. Exactly. Okay, so these are the four main minhagim nowadays. Either Minchas Yitzchak, whatever the oven is, it is, and if you want to cook anything else, it has to be covered. Or Moshe, whatever the oven is, it is for uncovered liquids, but you can cook salads in any oven, and you can cook covered food in any oven. Or Rav Shechter, you can cook anything in any oven. Or the Mipiyah Shmur for Moshe and for Lovenstein, that within 24 hours you can cook solids, but not uncovered liquids. And after 24 hours you can cook anything. Okay, so we have a lot of different sheets out there. And Halacha Maisa, I follow very well, etc. Okay, now, yes.
Industrially, is it pretty hard to mess up food in baking?
I mean, industrially, you can assert food baking things by buying a trace ingredient and putting it in your food. That's what the OU is mostly worried about. Baking in an oven, according to Moshe, you can never mess up baking in an oven. I don't know, unless you use a trace baking tray. Right? This is all assuming you have a separate baking tray for meat and milk, right? But if you cook meat and milk on the same baking tray, even one after the other, then that's a problem. That's like cooking the same pot, right? If the food touches the baking tray, right? So you can mess up that way. You always have to be, a mashgiach always has to be vigilant. That's the rule of hashgacha. You never make assumptions. Even the OU, once they have lists of ingredients, like category A, B, or 1, 2, whatever, certain ingredients that don't need a hechsher, everyone who owns any store said they can buy them anywhere and use that, because they're always kosher, like water. So one of the other things is raisins in America. Okay, any bakery can buy any raisins they want, and any bakery can buy any water they want. I don't know if they do New York nowadays, since they have a town. And once the mashgiach comes in, something seemed a little wrong, he wasn't sure exactly, something unfamiliar, mitbarer, the bakery is following all the instructions. The guy in the bakery followed every instruction to the letter. He would never violate one dot on the I of the OU instructions. They said raisins are okay, water is okay. So he bought raisins, soaked them in water, made raisin wine, and used it as ingredients in his cake. And it was all trade. So what does it go to show? It goes to show that you always have to be vigilant. Unless you have caught them. I mean, didn't catch them doing anything wrong. I mean, according to the rules, just trade. But you always have to be careful, no matter what. Never make assumptions.
Will he be making like
real life story, by the way?
Will he be making like the P.S. from after 24 hours? He won't.
No, he will not. Okay, the actual story that happened.
What's he
do
there? Sorry, raisin.
Oh,
yayin
esach.
Oh.
Right, raisin wine counts as yayin. So basically, all their food is treif because it was a guy cooking with yayin esach. Now wine was on the prohibited list, right? But there was nothing wrong with raisins and water. right, the Mishabura talks about, can you make Kiddush if you have no wine? Can you soak raisins in water and make Kiddush? And if you're stuck, you can, right? Because that's real wine. Now, the other issue that Rav Moshe the Minchas Yitzchak would argue about is this. Says the Minchas Yitzchak, he says, I have two reasons why ovens are usher. Number one, because of Zeya. Number two, inevitably you spill something on the rack, right? The rack is worse. And then, let's say the rack is treif, or milk, or fleish, or whatever. The rack. Now, you're putting your pot on the rack. You can't put your pot on a treif rack. Pot to pot. What does the Ramah say about pot to pot? Says the Ramah, Miu l'chachil yishizar b'chol zeh. So, I'm going to have to erase the board. There's a second machlokas in the Minchas Yitzchak and Rav Moshe.
Picture.
He got the picture. He said he got
it.
No, Pashtos, Mi Lachachil Yishizar, finish the set quote for me, Yichayim. Beth, Kolzeh. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble for most of us, mad at me now, Yishayim. But he's going to be mad, don't worry. The how about, let's remember, we have a rule, right, that Blia doesn't go from Kli to Kli. Blia doesn't go from Kli to Kli. However, says the Ramah, Mi did you have a steak there is no go zo bazoo dein osim zo zo ben giya, kol shkeim bezeya, mi lo lechati le yesh li zar b'chol zeh. However, says the Ramah, Mihu lechatchila yesh li zahir b'chol zeh. According to this, what turns out, if you have, it turns out then that lechatchila, what's the problem? Lechatchila, if you have, let's take three cases.
Is this food to clean, isn't it?
No, what we mean is this. Let's see. One case is, if you have one counter, then what happens inevitably? Milk spills on it, and meat spills on it. Right? Now,
And you keep it clean. If you put a hot meat pot on it, it's mutter, b'diavad. But l'chatchila, you shouldn't. If you put a hot pot on it, right? One counter. Meat and milk spill. Eventually. No one's going to tell me they never spill. Right? Only a shemesh fork never spills. And therefore, l'chatchila, you can't put a hot pot on the counter. Right? Or, what if you have one oven? Meat and milk spill on the rack, and therefore, l'chatchila, you can't put a pot on the rack. Your food will still be kosher, because a bliya won't go from the rack to the pot. Unless there's ba'en. Usually there's not ba'en on the rack, right? It's not like I spill on the rack and it stays there for a long time. No, it gets burnt off.
If there's ashes on it, that's
fine. Yeah, the ashes are burnt. Right? So let's say I wipe the spill, right? Even on a, what do I mean? I apologize, these markers have seen better days. Don't remind me to get new ones. Even on a clean rack. Even on a clean counter. Right? And third case, what if I have one stovetop? Right? Things for sure spill on the stovetop all the time. Right? Meat and milk, or tray for that matter. If a guy uses my stovetop spill, in which case, l'chatchila, I can't put a pot even on the clean grate. That's what I might think. Well, at stovetop, it's always hot, right? That's why I didn't bother to write the word hot. Okay, now we have a problem, in which case, let's start with the stovetop. Chatzuva tzarech libun. Well, maybe we should start, which way should we? Oh, it doesn't matter which way we start. Okay, start with the stovetop. Chatzuva tzarech libun. I'm going to start backwards in the order of Ramosha. You'll forgive me. Says the Ramah in Hilchos Pesach, Chatzuva tzarech libun. You need to kasher your stove grates. Everyone knows for Pesach we kasher our stove grates. Right? You need to kasher your stove grates for Pesach. Does that prove that you can't use the same stove for meat and milk? Because you need to kasher it for Pesach? No, because of, in two words, Chomer de Pesach. So the question is, what about for meat and milk? Says the Chochmas Adam, which I should have put on the sheet, I apologize. Says the Chochmas Adam. Yeah. Osir. Takets osir. The Ramah says Chatzuva needs libun for Pesach, but also needs libun between meat and milk. You have to get separate stove grates for meat and for milk. You don't have to get a separate stove, you just got separate grates. Separate stove grates for meat and milk, or a separate stove top for meat and milk. And if not, then you have to kasher it every time in between meat and milk. That's not the minute when I grew up. In America nowadays, people have two ovens, so they have two different stovetops for meat and milk. Everyone has one. Why? Because here it's a Mefurish Mishnah Berurah against the Chachmas Adam. And Ramosha writes, and even the Chachmas Adam, he only meant to be machmir as a chumra b'alma in the old days when it was just like some piece of metal that you bought for a dollar. Nowadays, when it's like expensive to buy extra stoves, he wouldn't have been machmir. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Chatzuva tzarech libun, hu kli sheyesh lo gimel reglayim, it's a three-legged grate, amamino la kedero machmas betanor al or, and you use it to hold up the pot, to call a shana, v'imrosu l'shams v'pezach tzarech l'lavna b'or, l'fishal fam nishpacha le'i seven nilu atam chametz al yidei or. Okay, you spill chametz on it, so now it's chametz stick. Says, v'zeo rak l'chachila, it's only l'chachila, then he adds, mishum chumer de pesach. This is only because of Chomer de Pesach. Very clear. When the Mishnah Berurah says only Chomer de Pesach, he clearly means all year long. We wouldn't worry about it. Says the Mishnah Berurah. No. Says the Mishnah Berurah. He says, Machmirim be Pesach. No one's making one Pesach. Right? Chomer de Pesach is a Mefurish Ramah. Chatzuva tzarech libun. Don't get the wrong impression. You can't use a regular stove without kashering for Pesach. Chomer de Pesach. But the clear implication is that's only Chomer de Pesach. But not all year long. Why? Why is it mutter all year long? So Moshe points out three reasons, right? But mutter, the basar b'chalav, And here there are three reasons, even without Ramosha's fish. One reason is because the Blia ain't Kli Boleami Kli. Ah, but is that a good enough reason to be Mekel? No, because that's only Bidiyevit, right? So that's not enough reason to be Mekel. But of course, says Ramosha, that's definitely enough reason that if you have other tzadim l'chachila, you can be Mekel. Because now, like, worse comes to worse, it's much of Bidiyevit, right? Worse comes to worse, it's only Nishal l'chachila. So if you have other reasons to be Mekel, you don't have to be nervous. And he points out two other reasons to be Mekel. I'm not sure what the Mishnah Berurah means. The Mishnah Berurah means it's near the fire so it gets burnt. Rav Moshe says there are maybe two things you might mean by that. So I'm not sure. Rav Moshe says two reasons. I'm not sure which one he meant, but they're both good svaras. One is, after all, did a fire by the stove grate, and therefore what? Like the case in Sadi Beis Seif Vav, when it was Keneged Ha'esh, right? Keneged Ha'esh. He said, no, the spills burn away before they are nivla. Before the spills get absorbed in the grate, they burn away. And if you say it's only for a drop, not for a big spill, Rav Moshe says, no. For a drop, if it's on the side of the fire. Here, the grate's not just on the side of the fire. It's mamish in the fire. If it's mamish in the fire, even a big spill, the spill gets burnt up before it gets absorbed. And then he says it'd be even better, Taina. Especially for our grist burners, this is a good taina. And let's say the stove grate did absorb meat and milk. What would then happen to it? As soon as you turn on the fire, what are you doing to it? Libun, right? You put it in a fire. You mamish put it in a fire. That's libun, right?
Well,
so says Ramosha, it is a, it's always undergoing libun.
What if the second one wasn't as hot or whatever?
It's in a fire. Fires, it doesn't have to be as hot. By leaving, you don't make a volkachbol, so you just need a hot fire. So says Ramos. Now, we're not sure what the Mishnah Berurah meant. He's also a little misuppled. The Mishnah Berurah said, and also, kfar nisra fahalachlo, because it's always on the ish. So I don't know if that means, like, it never got absorbed, or if that means that it got continually kosher. But both these are in the achronim. So there are many reasons to be mekel and still great. Of course, there are machmiras. But, you know, shari chumra lo ninalu. But but there's many reasons to be mako. Okay. Now.
How long did the fire on for?
What?
How long did the fire on for?
The fire's always on. Every time you cook, you're leaving the fire on and on and on, so it continually captures itself.
Meaning,
now, you're right. If you happen to have bad luck, meaning you can have this weird case. Let's say I cook chicken soup and I spill on my burner right when I finish cooking and turn off the fire. It gets absorbed. And then I put on a milking pot before I turn on the flame again, then it wouldn't kosher itself in that weird scenario. Okay, but you know what? There's as long as there's no ba'en there, as long as it's clean, it's b'di'evit as mutter anyway. So in a weird scenario, it'll still be b'di'evit mutter. Don't go so crazy. What? No, no. I think then I put the milking pot there and then turn on the fire. And when the fire's first turning on, it's not hot enough to do libun yet, but it's hot enough to make heat. Okay. How about a gross burner? Gross burners are a little different because they're flat. So, like, if something spills, there's no place for it to fall off. But even a gross burner, if something spills while it's on, after 2 minutes, it'll get burnt. Even if it's still there, it'll be charcoal. And that's libun. When libun turns food into charcoal, that's also libun. It doesn't have to disappear, it just has to turn into charcoal. Now, libun gomer turns into ash. Libun kal turns into charcoal. Say it. Yeah.
Is there a lot of svara that we're worried there might actually be food there? Or like we're worried that...
I mean, on the stove grates, you never have actual food.
Or we're worried that you might think that if there's no glios here, there's also no glios in food. Like, what's he worried about?
Who?
The Rabba. He says we should be
back. Give me a second. I'll tell you in a second. That's controversial.
With the gross burners, or I believe with any sort of glass burner, isn't the fire or the coil technically under a layer of glass? So isn't it...
The gross burners have glass?
I
thought they're just metal.
Like
no, the plug-in burners. Yeah, but it's old metal. Isn't it old metal, not glass?
No, it's rubber.
A fancy kitchen has a metal one.
I'm missing out.
No, I'm saying the burners, the part you put the pot. I don't mean the side of it. That doesn't touch the pot. The part that touches the pot. What's it made of?
I don't know.
It might be metal.
It might be metal, might be glass. But it gets very hot. So it gets koshered.
It's not directly on the coil, wherever is the...
Yeah, but the coil's like right under it, attached to it, part of it. So that's still a little... It gets very hot,
yeah.
Every time you turn it on. Now again, not if you turn it on for 1 second. But every time you turn it on, it does leap into itself.
That's poshut. The problem with the glass-topped ovens and stovetops in America is not the circles that get hot. It's that the part in between doesn't get hot enough to kosher itself. For the grist burners, there's no part in between.
No, everything is.
So let's say trays would fall in that area. You can't kosher
it. And the problem with the glass-top stovetops in America, maybe we'll get to it, is that if tray falls on the circle, then it koshers itself next time you turn it on. But if tray falls in between the circles, that's hot enough to be yatzo lettuce bow to make a bliya, but not hot enough to kosher itself, because in between the circles, it doesn't get so hot. And then it's a big problem.
You can't put stuff in between.
Yeah, but you never put your pot there, so it doesn't matter, right? The problem with the flat top stove is that you put your pot where it doesn't get hot enough to kosher, right? In a gas burner, you only put your pot on the things that get very hot. It doesn't touch the rest of it.
But in the plug-in, you're saying in the middle, you never put your pot there?
What?
Or it doesn't get hot enough in the middle?
What middle?
The grist burners,
it all gets hot. The only part that touches your pot gets hot. The circle touches your pot, and it all gets very hot.
Like in the middle of it, the middle of the two.
But the middle of the two, it goes down, and your pot can't touch it, can it? If I understand correctly, it like looks like this, and then you have like a circle and a circle, but in between it's a little lower, and the pot doesn't touch it. Isn't that how double grist burners work?
Yeah.
So like your pot can't touch here. Because it's too low. Unless you tilted, unless you slanted your pot. But I'm saying no.
You're saying a regular stove top is.
I'm saying there are flat glass stove tops. Their mom is flat. Which are the fanciest kind in America nowadays.
Could you put like a sheet of
What?
Could you put a sheet of...
Also, induction.
Induction
is the big problem in America now, because induction doesn't get hot. The bottom doesn't get hot, only the pot gets hot. So induction stove tops is the problem. What do you do with induction stove tops? I don't know.
Put a sheet of tinfoil over it.
I think it'll break. The whole stove.
You can't.
I think if you put tinfoil over the glass stove tops, it cracks.
Sorry. We had a metal stove, right, with four burners. And like whatever that bullet, the burner's bullet, but like the metal part in between the burners, we put stuff on it, but that got hot also. No,
you put stuff on it.
Think like if you're waiting or something,
so don't.
That's a problem. You're saying.
Yeah, so don't.
But like it gets very hot as well. No.
No, not hot enough to be. I don't know. You have to look at each one.
It's not the fancy type. It's like metal.
Yeah,
like
I understand
old.
What you're saying. I would think
fine.
It's a problem, but you have to go with the thermometer and measure it. Okay, we're both side.
At what point on the lid of the pot on the side?
How about putting the lid of the pot on the side burner, which is not hot at the time?
So
I think Ramosha would still say it's okay, because A, you put... I mean, Ramosha would for sure say he has bigger kulas. You put the lid of the pot on the side burner. It's just a kli touching a kli, but yeah, but it doesn't make a bliya. Alech ha-kli should be machmir. Yeah, but whatever fell in that side burner might have gotten burned before it got absorbed. And even whatever fell in the side burner probably fell when the fire was on and got kosher then. So I wouldn't worry about that. Okay. Meaning, I wouldn't put food on the burner, which no one does anyway, because then, like, basically 2 and 3 are like probablys. I wouldn't rely on a probably in a shiloh tarfus. Once you're just putting a kli on the burner, it's only a shiloh lechachilas. I'd rely on a probably to not throw a lechachila. Or most more or less says that.
If it fell on it,
then it depends if it's ben yom or in a ben yom. Oh, would I rely on these probablys? But yeah, yesh lion. Okay, now. Let's go to the second gate. Says Rav Moshe, when it comes to the ovens, Rabosai, he has two other kulas. Says Rav Moshe, in Yordei Aleph, it's interesting, in his earliest tshuva seems to be, Orchaim Alsim Kuchav Dal, he says, yeah, there's like a chumer that some people are kasherit. But then he abandoned that. In his later tshuvas, Yordei Aleph Sim Nem, he says, really, there's no problem, the kli touching kli is mutter even b'dievet. Then someone later wrote to him, says, what do you mean kli touching a kli is mutter even b'dievet? Even l'chachila. Ma patom kli touching a kli is mutter even l'chachila. That's not mutter even l'chachila. The Rama says, that's also l'chachila. I mean, says Rav Moshe, says the poskim say that's only kula b'dievet. Rav Moshe says, that's a kula even l'chachila. In which case, Whoa, you have like tremendous button lahakel. He says that's cool even lechachilo. Let's go back to the, we'll see in a second, the oven racks. Let's go back to these oven racks, says Ramosha. Yeah, there's no problem in the oven racks. Here it gets a little tricky, says Ramosha. Says the Minchas Yitzchak. He says, Usser, because it's not constantly bun. An oven rack, it's Usser. The second reason Usser is oven, even without the Zeya. You can't use the same rack for meat and milk. That's not constantly bun in an oven rack. That's not Liban in an oven rack. Says Rav Moshe. It says Rav Moshe, mutter, just like the stove grates. He says mutter, just like the stove grates. A, you're only putting a kli on a kli. According to him, that's mutter even the chachila, even though he seems to be against the Ramah so far. And according to everyone, it's mutter b'di'evit. B, even if something, and here he's like a little more makel. He says this is still connected to Aish. After all, the Aish is on the bottom, so when something drops on the stove rack, it's on the side of the Aish, so it probably gets all burnt up. And also, you know, I mean, here he's not so explicit, but like the oven's often on at a very high temperature, so it's always koshering the oven rack. So don't worry. Every time it spills, you have like 8 kosherings before the next spill. So Moshe is comfortable with makel even in oven racks. Not everyone agrees. Lemaisa, since this is only a shayla for chachila anyway, I think we could be somewhere on Rav Moshe. Here, like for stove grates, most of the world is mekel. Very few people are machmir. Here, some people have one oven, some people have two ovens, but never to be somewhere on Rav Moshe, because like, worst comes to worse, we all know b'dievet a kli is not b'leah from a kli. The chiddush of Rav Moshe, and here is something he doesn't say, but since Rav Moshe thinks even lechachila the hey, kli is not b'leah from a kli, then here you have a tremendous chiddush. What's the tremendous chiddush? I haven't seen Rav Moshe talk about this. Can you use the same counter for meat and milk and put hot pots there? Right, so can you use the same counter for meat and milk? If you only have one counter, of course you can use it for meat and milk. The question is, can you put hot pots there?
You have to make sure it's clean.
Right, you have to make sure it's very clean. Right, so can you use one counter for meat and milk? You for sure have to make sure it's clean. That's poshut, right? But Alpi Rav Moshe, theoretically, why do I say theoretically? Because it's not clear that Rav Moshe is willing to be somech on this svara. Alpi Rav Moshe, theoretically, it is mutter because ein kli b'leia mikli is a heter even l'chatchila. Against what the Ramah sounds like.
That would apply to sinks as well, though.
No, because in sinks, the water's bullying from the sinks and then into the kli. There's water between the sink and your kli. That would apply to putting a hot, dry kli on a hot, dry sink. But that's all we do. We run hot water. So then the water's. Okay. However, but lemaisa, all poskim disagree with this. And even Rav Moshe only relied on it together with other svaros. Right? Even Rav Moshe only relied on it together with other svaros. So if someone wants to say, yeah, I can use the same countertop for meat and milk. Use the same countertop for meat and milk for hot pots, no problem. Then Rav Moshe would theoretically back them up. But Lemaisa, even Rav Moshe wouldn't really make it unless you have other svaros to go with it. And the post can disagree with him. So I wouldn't go so far, but where does Rav Moshe get this idea? Where does Rav Moshe get the idea that even lechachila, you can put a hot kli, and you don't have to worry about a kli being with a kli? Isn't that against Ramaz? Mihu lechachila yeshli zahir b'chol zeh? So here, there Rav Moshe has two big chidushim. Says the Ramah, lechatchila yeshli zaher b'chol zeh. Rav Moshe has two big chidushim. Number one,
says...
Is this on the countertop or in general?
In general. Says Rav Moshe, maybe he only means Zaya of a covered pot. Maybe he only means like putting your covered pot under another pot, you know, and trusting the Zaya won't go up. He doesn't mean Kli Bolemi Kli. Maybe only means covering your pot to prevent Zaya. That you shouldn't rely on the Chachiba. Maybe that's all he meant. Because what do you say here? Ema machas mechusa hakol shari. Not touching to Caleb. Okay, that's his first. But he admits that's a little tricky, especially as the Ramah says, no ginyesh lechakilu yishu zahir beh kolze. It's hard to imagine kolze, it doesn't include his last sentence. So really, we assume, no. Really, even Rav Moshe admits that lechatchila aser lehagia shtei kederos hamos zebozeh. No, he says the pshat of the Ramah is yeshu zahir beh kolze. Kolze means the last thing he mentioned, shtei kederos nogo zubazu. Ah, so what's this kula? This is Rav Moshe's biggest kula. Again, I'm going to say it in my words, not necessarily in his words. Rav Moshe's big chiddush is that, and this is Rav Moshe versus the Prima Gadim in Siman Sadi Zion, and says Rav Moshe, let's get the one that works, says Rav Moshe, no. Two pots are usher. You can't take a milchik pot and a fleishik pot and let them touch each other. I mean, what kind of pots? Full pots. Two pots are usher. But a pot on a surface is mutter. Two pots are usher, but a pot on a surface is mutter. Well, the Ramah says, if you're cooking a pot of milk and you're cooking a pot of chicken soup, you can't let the two pots touch each other. Fine. Rav Moshe never said you let two pots touch each other. He just says, if you have a milchik surface in a fleishik pot, you can put the fleishik pot on a milchik surface. If you have a treif surface in a kosher pot, put the kosher pot on a treif surface. That's not against the Ramah. The Ramah was talking about two pots, not a pot on a surface. However, that is very, very, very far from Pashut. It's a Mefurish Taz in Sadi Zion Gimel who says that if you spill milchik on the floor of the oven, the chachila, you can't put a fleshy pot there. Against this Rav Moshe. Taz, Sadi Zion, Sifkat and Gimel, I think I said. Yeah, we'll get to it. Says Mefurish that it is Osir. Sadi Zion. Gimel says Mefurish, even a pot on a surface. Obviously, I mean, if they don't match, a milky pot on a...
What was the case of the pot again?
It was, you spilled milk on the floor of the oven. Now the floor of the oven became milky.
So
now you put a pot of meat there. When it's clean, put a pot of meat. It says, L'chachil, it's usher, because two kederes no gozu bazu, because of this Ramah.
Can you be
mechalek
by encounter...
I don't think so. Not.
Yeah. Well, Moshe says it's Zeya of a covered pot. Before we said it didn't matter. That's not because we thought there was no Zeya. We thought there was Zeya, it didn't matter.
That is a good question.
And also, that means that Zeya has Tam but not Reach also. Because we said there's two pots. If they're both covered, there's no Zeya, there's no problem with the break. I mean, he's working Tam, he's not working Reach at all.
Okay, I'll answer you later after I explain one more thing, or maybe you'll figure it out yourself. what's the svara here? The svara might be more complicated, but Moshe says, what's the svara? He says, what's the problem having two things touch each other? Like, why can't you let a kli touch a kli? If there's no kli, there's no kli. Like, why are we machmer l'chatchila? Is that what you're asking for? Some of this is for. Why are we even machmer l'chatchila? So, says Moshe, you know why we're machmer l'chatchila? Because maybe it'll spill. Now, where Moshe says, I can explain to you the difference, I can explain to you my filler. If you have a pot of chicken soup touching a pot of milk, or machmer l'chatchila, maybe the milk will splash into the chicken soup and be trayed. Maybe the chicken soup will splash into the milk and be trayed. But if you just put, like, a milking, a kosher pot on a tray oven rack, or a fleshy pot on a milk oven rack, then what are we worried about? Even if it spills, nothing bad will happen. So I'll make the oven rack a tray pan. And if you have, like, a milking pot on the tray counter, so what are we worried? Even the milking pot spills, the counter's already trayed. I'm not going to hurt the pot. So that is where Moshe's far. We're worried about spills. If we're worried about spills, then it's only if you have a pot of meat and a pot of milk. We're worried the meat will spill on the milk, or the milk will spill on the meat. But if you just put a pot on a rack, then even if it spills, nothing bad will happen. What do the other poskim think? The other poskim think either one of two things. Either they think, no, even if it spills, something bad might happen. Because the spill might land where the rack is touching your pot, or where the counter is touching your pot, and take the tom out of the counter and put it into your pot. A stam counter, a stam rack, a yomo, simply asu hachila, or more likely, if you look at Ramaz based on the Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe says, even French says, from the Hagol Sharidur. If you look at the Hagol Sharidur, why was he machmir? Because he was choshish l'chachila, maybe a tam does go from a kli to a kli. That's what it sounds like. From the Hagol Sharidur. I didn't print it out. It's on the Bar Ilan now. It's really amazing. Says the Hagol Sharidur. Hamachmer calls that tovel of bracha, ki harbi yish l'dakti svaras elu, because these svaras are not pashut. Maybe bleed does go from a kli to a kli, then it's always asher l'chachila to put a kli on a kli. If you're just worried about spills, then maybe it's only asher to touch two pots, not to touch a pot in a rack. Maybe that's the difference between Ramosha and the Taz and the Poskim. Halacha l'maisa, we assume, not like Ramosha on this, we assume, like most of the Poskim, that the Ramaz Isser to let any kli touch any kli still also chachila. Why? Maybe the chachila, we think maybe the kli does go from a kli to a kli. And therefore, lechachila will be mekel on the stove, to use the same stove for meat and milk. Why? Because even if lechachila you shouldn't put a kosher pot on a treif stove grate, adds a fire that kashers it and prevents it from absorbing. Even an oven rack we can make like Ramosha. Because even if you're not allowed to put a kosher pot on a treif oven rack, and there's a fire all the time in the oven that captures the oven rack. But on just the counter, to use the same counter for hot meat and milk, or the same trip for hot meat and milk, then we have to be machmer, because you'll for sure spill meat, you'll for sure spill milk, it'll make a treif, then l'chachila, and nothing will capture it, l'chachila, you can't put a hot pot on a treif surface. Against this other pool of Rav Moshe. Okay, that is, I think, all I had to say about Sif Ches. If I remember correctly, yes. I think that's all I had to say about Sifres. Any other questions? By the way, the answer to, just one second, the answer to Shlomi's question is, if you say, doesn't the Ramah think that we should be machmir even on putting a pot of meat on top of a covered pot of milk? Because we're worried about the Zayit even from a covered pot of milk. Rav Moshe says, why? Because sometimes when you boil things, like the top goes up and the Zayit goes out, even if it's covered. And you don't notice. So then why do we all these have teirim in our ovens to cover the pots? So the answer probably is because, okay, since not so poshut, that ovens are a problem in the first place. Rav Shaft is really right, so we don't worry about it so much. There's one other thing I have to discuss before Ori. Microwaves. How about using the same microwave for meat and milk? So it's microwaves are similar to the shiloh, to the questions of ovens. And you have the same two issues in microwaves that you have in ovens.
People are more makeable with microwaves, though.
I know, but they should. Oh, well.
Microwaves are small.
Aha. So, microwave versus oven. What are the two problems in microwaves?
It's like
two problems.
Fake fire.
Number one, things always spill in the microwave. In the end. Right? They splatter, even if you keep them covered. Eventually something spills. Number one, you know that glass plate in the bottom of the microwave? That always ends up becoming trafe, because you inevitably spill milk and meat on it. So number one, the spills on the glass plate. Now let's say you're a hygienic fellow. So if you spill something, you wipe it off. But it still is bolea meat, and it's bolea milk, and it's bolea meat, and it's bolea milk. Then, maybe it should be a problem, Taka, right? Spills on the glass plate, and lechatchila, you know, we don't put a kli on a treif kli. And there's no heter of a fire, right? And there's no heter of a fire like in an oven. Because nothing always captures the glass plate and keeps it from absorbing. So that's one problem with the microwave. Is that, how about, but if you want to, you could be makel, because you could say, since it's only problem lechachila to put things on the glass plate, maybe you could rely on the machaber who says, and some Tufman Aleph, any Spartan here?
Glass
is in bolea anyway. So, okay, yeah, maybe yesh lismoch on the sheet that glass is in bolea. Right? The solution is ule yesh lismoch almanda amar that zechuches eino bolea. Please zechuches eino bolea, zechuches eino bolas. What?
Aren't the plates Pyrex?
Pyrex is glass.
Same type thing?
I mean, Pyrex is a type of glass. Yeah. It's not the same as a different type of glass, but it's still made of glass. Yeah. Okay, so now, lechachila, maybe Ashkenazim aren't always machbar on glass plates. But over here, we're not putting our food on the glass plate. We're just putting a kli on the glass plate, which Moshe says is okay anyway. So, okay, for the legabe, the iser lechachila, putting a kli on a kli, we can be so much of another glass as a bolea. Maybe you can get away with it. Two, the problem here is the zeya. And here, what's a worse problem in zeya? Microwave or conventional oven?
Microwave
for three reasons. Worse than a conventional oven because A, it's smaller.
Is there a vent in microwaves?
There is a vent, for sure. There is a vent, but it's smaller. B, I think this is the worst, the kicker. Well, first I'll say not the kicker. A, it's smaller. B, the walls are not hot. Remember, there's always the tzad l'hakol. The Rosh says maybe hot walls don't condense steam, which is true. Here the walls are cold, right? The walls are not hot enough to repel the zeya. I know we're not so much on the walls repelling the zeya by an oven. But the Rosh had a suffix, right? And the Rosh can sound like, oh, yeah, a hot thing won't really absorb Zaya. Here, okay, and C, I think there's the worst of it, is that, and clearly you can't put any riots from history, because they never had microwaves, is that if you put the same exact food in a regular oven or a microwave oven, which will produce more steam? Microwave. Why will the microwave produce more steam? Because it has a special kind of microwave radiation that makes the water molecules somehow agitate and produce more steam. Everyone knows things produce more steam in a microwave, right? Everyone, if I make popcorn on my stove in a pot, when I open the popcorn pot, will I die? No. If I make popcorn in the microwave and I open the bag, what will happen to me? Like this? It won't be pretty. All right? It'll be like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? It won't be pretty. Sorry, that's something from meaning, we all know that microwaves are chemically different than regular ovens that make more zeya, which means that whatever mesora and svaras we might have had until now is not necessarily true of microwaves. We could say, look, for thousands of years, don't worry about the ovens. Okay, maybe they would have worried about microwaves because microwaves are chemically different. So I think just that scientifically, it produces more steam. Okay, microwaves are then very, very tricky. My very, very willing is makel in microwaves, he says the following svara. He says, you can be makel microwaves le'idach gisa. He says, if you cover the things in the microwave mostly, even not totally, then only a little steam will escape. If only a little steam escapes, it'll be like the salami. It'll be less than the atzel lettuce, but it won't be so hot, so it won't make any bleas.
Why is that different than
you know like the standard microwave covers with the holes?
Yeah.
Standard, even with the holes, some steam will escape through the holes, but only so little, it won't be out till lettuce bow.
But why is more make it than an oven?
What? Because an oven is always out till lettuce bow, because it's a fire.
Oh.
So now, here it's a little tricky, because I experimented with that, and I found that the steam was still out till lettuce bow. So I guess it depends on your microwave. Anyway, so where I willing is make in microwaves, he says, but I think you have to do the experiment. If you cover it mostly, open the microwave, quickly stick your hand in and see
if it's burned.
Right, but the problem is this, covered something, that's the problem. I covered something with the one with holes in it, and then I microwaved it, and I felt the walls, and the walls were burning hot. They don't get burning hot from the waves. They only get burning hot from the steam. So I'm the little mistook.
So tape them.
My Rebbe is Mekel, that as long as you cover mostly, the steam won't be out. So lettuce bow outside that little covering, you'll be okay. He thinks even if you put a paper towel on top of something, it'll absorb most of the steam, and the rest of it won't be out. So lettuce bow. Okay, you have to do your experiments. The experiments I've done have shown that there's a lot of heat coming out of that steam in the microwave. In my humble opinion, I think microwaves are not better than ovens because they're cold. They're worse than ovens because they're cold. They never kosher themselves, right? And the walls absorb condensed tons of steam because they're not so hot. And it produces tons of steam. And it's not so big, even though it has a vent. They put in a very much more powerful vent because it's so much steam, but still not, I don't know if it's good enough. And in my humble opinion, I think that everyone should afford two microwaves.
But you gotta cover with
or if you have one microwave, to cover it totally.
And then it doesn't have any.
Then the steam doesn't escape.
Don't do that. It will explode.
What?
Your thing will explode.
I did it many, many times. I taped the holes in the microwave cover, and no one ever got hurt.
Chicken shriveled up till it was a piece of black.
What?
It was like a piece of black.
What? No, Ad Rabbi, you'd think the chicken should be moister if you tape the holes in the cover. Because then all the vapor stays inside. What? Okay. Anyway, Lemaisa, I take no responsibility for the culinary aspects of this. I'm only speaking halacha. You're responsible on your own for how your food tastes. The truth is, chicken never tastes good in the microwave, no matter what you do.
They have ones that are closed.
What?
They have ones that are completely closed.
Great. So I think, in my humble opinion, I think you should either have two microwaves. That's what I do. I have two microwaves. I also have a Pesach microwave. But that's because I don't have so much yontif, so I have a chance to use it once or twice a year. Actually, I never use it. I don't know why I want it. Anyway, I have two microwaves, and most people can afford two microwaves. Like, even if you have a small kitchen, you can usually find some place to stick two microwaves on top of something else, and they're not so expensive. They're much cheaper than everything else in the kitchen. You can buy the microwave probably for like 200 shekel or something, a cheap one. So I think everyone should have two microwaves. Or if you have one microwave, you should use a microwave cover with apples.
There's no way to kosher the microwave?
So can you kosher a microwave? So there is a sheet of koshering a microwave, and the minigolds rely on koshering the microwave. Of course, the pains, always kosher the microwave in your house. And based on Kabbalah Kapolto, Mimapishach. If this steam is thick enough to be like the steam inside a pot that's really a blia, then that really takes out the blios, then it's thick enough to kosher. That's a good mimarashah. If the steam in the microwave is enough to get the blios out of the microwave walls and put them in your food, then it's enough to kosher the blios out of the microwave walls. So therefore, you can kosher a microwave by putting in a bowl or a cup of water and boiling it for a long time, like 6 minutes or something, till it goes everywhere. The other problems. What about the part of the glass plate that's under it?
You
can either do it twice, or you can just pour a little, or you can just pour a little onto the glass plate there. Again, assuming you can kosher glass.
Wait, why doesn't it boil all over?
What?
Once it's Zaya, it should be fine.
No, that's what I said.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just fill the Zaya. Some people boil it twice to also get the spot under it, assuming you can kosher glass. You could also just pour a little of the boiled water afterwards on the spot under it, and then you don't have to boil it twice. Although I guess it's already boiled, so you can boil it again.
Glass is a problem?
What? If you're going to be chosen for it. Yeah? Right, so the assumption is that... it's good to have two microwaves, you can. The assumption is that maybe that's only for things who actually touch your food, not things that just have Zeta on your food. That seems to be the man.
Okay, so Lamaisa, I think it's much more important to be macro in microwaves than to be macro in ovens. I guess we have to what he thinks about that. Even though my Rary or Luke seems to think the opposite. Okay, do the experiment. If you use the thing with holes in it, and everything's cold in the whole rest of the microwave, then fine, then probably just use meat and meat. Obviously separate meat and milk, separate covers. But if, even with the holes in it, you find everything's hot in the rest of the microwave, then you're in big trouble.
In terms of opening that cover, you can always open it and take it out of the microwave.
Once the door is open, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Like, I would only take it off after I took it out of the microwave, but if it comes off, I'll take it out of the microwave, it wouldn't worry. I think so. Okay, anyway, we didn't even get to sip test yet, so we'll have to pick off the next level sip test next time. But these are very, very halachal mice. You'll probably have to chaser and think about it a little more and come and ask me questions. That's what I'm here for.